Welcome to Backstage, where we talk about what's going on behind the scenes here at Relay FM and share our knowledge to help you start a podcast of your own. I'm Mike Hurley, and I'm joined by Stephen Hackett. Hi, Stephen Hackett.
Hey, Mike Hurley. How are you?
I'm good. I actually merged the word hi and my name into one, which was nice today.
Hi, Mike Hurley.
Even I said hello to myself, so that's good. This is not what you should do
when
you introduce a podcast. This is lesson number one of this episode of Backstage.
So it's August, which is exciting because that means
we're actually recording this on our birthday. Happy birthday.
It probably won't be out on our birthday, but we're recording it on our birthday.
No. Yeah.
So the relay is 6 years old, which is really cool. So happy anniversary, Mike. Birthday or anniversary?
Yeah,
both are weird.
I think it's I like birthday more than anniversary. Podiversary or foundiversary, something like that. Mm-hmm. We can come up with something new here.
Okay.
It's different. We're usually together on our company anniversary. I think we've done that every time. We weren't together for the first launch, for like when we launched the company, but I think every other birthday we've been together.
Pretty much,
so
yeah.
That's a shame. But we're going to be doing a live stream today, which hopefully you've seen by now. If not, we'll include a link in the show notes because that will be all taken care of, where we spoke about a few things. We did a company Q&A, which you'll get to see. And we also announced that we're going to be fundraising for St. Jude again this year,
mm-hmm.
from now and throughout September. You can go to stjude.org/relay to donate. It's a wonderful charity. We're going to be talking about that more throughout September. And we also announced that we're going to be doing our second, which is now annual podcast-a-thon, which is a six-hour event that's going to be occurring on September 18th, which we're really excited about. And we're putting a lot of energy and effort right now into making that an event that you won't want to miss.
Basically, half my studio is full of stuff for the podcast-a-thon. I know yours is the same way, so
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
I am accelerating Mega Studios development at a breakneck pace here.
Yeah. All right, so this month on Backstage, we want to talk about recording a demo. So the idea that you have found somebody you want to work with, you've sort of honed a general topic area you want to cover, you've done some outlining, you've done some prep for your first episode, you've bought some equipment. We talked about that last time, which is fun. It's always fun to talk about microphones and cables. I love those things. But this is a really important step. This is where the rubber meets the road, and you see if the idea and the person and all these things, how they're going to come together. This is something we really value in our own creation process, whether it shows that you and I are developing ourselves or we're working with other people to develop. This is something we really believe in, and I was wondering, Mike, if you could talk a little bit about why we think it's so important.
So this is definitely something that we established as an understanding as time went on. You know, like we very frequently would release episode one is like the first time that we've ever recorded that show, right? Like that seems like the logical way of doing things. But what we learned over time is practice makes perfect, basically. And I think we both became very familiar with the awkward episode one phenomenon.
Yeah.
But because the show, you know, every time a podcast begins, there will always be an amount of time where the hosts get to know each other a little bit more. Even if they've been friends and have known each other for a long time, it's a very different experience when you're recording a podcast because it's something it's a conversation you're now having with the intent for other people to listen, which is not the way that you normally converse with people. And also a lot of episode ones include way too much meta discussion about the podcast and what the podcast is going to be, which is definitely something to try and mitigate as much as possible, right? People are there to listen to the thing. They don't want 20 minutes of you explaining to them what the show's going to be like in the future.
Yeah.
Right. But everybody does this, and it is the awkward episode one problem. So one of the ways that you can mitigate that is by creating that first episode with the intent that only 10 or 15 people will ever hear it because it is your demo. It can really help you get into the groove, you know, like you can, and a demo, you know, when we say record a demo, you could do like four or five of these. Like you don't have to do just one. And we'll talk a little bit more throughout this episode as to why you might want to do multiple ones. But it kind of can help you establish very early on what may work and what wouldn't. with your show's kind of overall topic and outline kind of structure. Mm-hmm. Like you might realize that you thought you would do things in this order, but it naturally did not flow that way. And if you reordered things a little differently, it might work for you. And it can also just, again, like it helps build chemistry and it helps with between you and your co-hosts or even just on your own. Like there are so many times where, like, for example, the outro for this show, the way that we outro the show, we didn't know we were going to do it that way until we'd recorded the first episode. Yeah. Like
you just did it. It's like, oh, I just there it is.
Yeah. And sometimes things feel natural and you include them, but you wouldn't know about them until you've actually sat down in front of the microphone and given it a go. Demos are also an important part of the process of understanding if a show's host can be relied upon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we found that this might be more important for us than it is for other people. I don't know. But like we've had examples where we've worked with individuals in the past and we've asked them to put demos together and they didn't do it.
Yep.
And so that made us realize, oh, if we would have launched this show, it may have never gotten past episode 3.
Mm-hmm. And then I just quietly removed them from our Slack and we never speak of it again.
Yeah. And we all pretend it never happened. But this is like a real thing because look, some people might like the idea of having a podcast more than the work of putting it together, and that is perfectly valid, but that's one of the reasons you do demos is when you realize, oh, actually, you know what? I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm. You just described a lot of people's young YouTube careers.
Yep. Like my own.
Yeah, and I do want to say, like, this is something that we do. So Flashback, the show I do with Quinn Nelson where we talk about old tech stuff, that's coming back this fall. We promise it's coming back.
Oh, good.
After the podcast-a-thon. And after I sleep for a week after the podcast-a-thon. Like, you'll mm-hmm. see it towards the end of the year. But we did a demo for Flashback, and I cannot tell you how valuable it was. And look, Quinn and I do this sort of stuff for a living, right? I'm a professional podcaster. He's a professional YouTuber with hundreds yep. of thousands of subscribers. Like, tech content is where, you know, we pay our bills. Mm-hmm. But we learned so much about the structure of the show.
Yeah, that was very valuable for Flashback, I think, because I remember you shared it with me and I don't remember what it was, but like there was something where I was like, oh, I feel like it was missing this, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, that's probably a good idea to include that. Like that's it's a very normal part of the process that if you share it with people that you trust, mm-hmm. they may help you realize something that's creatively important.
And that's actually why we released that demo to the Relay FM membership crew, because I wanted to show, like, yeah, this show was kind of different and we tweaked a bunch of stuff and you ended up being what it was and what it will be again later this year. And so I think that is I just want to be like really transparent about that. Like, we do it, we learn a lot from this. This is not just something for people starting out, it's for seasoned professionals as well. And you may be out there wondering about the order of this, because in Backstage we are kind of going through the process. And you and I both really believe in doing this before branding is even complete. I mean, we've recorded demos of shows that don't have names yet. Sometimes they have a name, sometimes they don't. But we do that because format changes, maybe something happens in the recording, you think of the name. The branding, your branding of a show can subconsciously affect how you think about the show. And so I really think a demo should be as pure as possible. Just, does this conversation work the way that we think it will work? And then you can come back to branding. And we're going to talk about that in a future episode of Backstage. But I think that's that order is important. I think a demo is really important at this stage when you kind of have the people and the content together to see if you have something viable before you go out and you know, find a designer or work on some artwork and do all those other things. Because if the content isn't jiving, if the people aren't working together, whatever is not fitting, then you've got to resolve that, and no amount of branding can fix that stuff. So like, that's why I like doing it at this point in the process.
And the branding may just be wrong
yep.
for what the show ends up becoming. And then at that point, you've ended up spending time, potentially money and effort, on creating a brand identity for your project that doesn't fit anymore. And so it's really important to know, like, for example, like if you have three co-hosts and one of them decides they don't want to do it after they've recorded a few demos, well, you maybe need to remove them from the branding.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's probably,
there's like a big red X through their picture, yep, on the website. Like, what happened there?
And again, like, this is also that we haven't even gotten to editing yet, which we will also be getting to in a future episode. And, you know, whilst you do need to edit your demo, your editing process will be very different, if at all. And it's actually not massively important for the first demo. Again, we'll come back to why maybe you need to spend some time practicing your editing process before releasing a show. And so having some content to edit is useful. And so recording the demos can be great for that.
Yeah, I would say, also, I would say, know, the only exception to that, if you don't mind me interrupting, mm-hmm, for a second, is if the edit is somehow a character on the show. Mm-hmm. So if the if you're looking at something like what we do with Ungenius, which you talked about a bunch here because it's such an outlier, yep, where it is extremely heavily edited, then you need to at least have a hint of that in your demo, because Ungenius, if it was just you and I talking, it wouldn't be as good. Like, part of the reason that show, agreed, is good is because it's so tight. And so if the edit is part of the show, like something like Dubai Friday that our friend Quinn edits, mm-hmm, she spends a lot of time getting everything lined up, but then she knows where to put the music breaks, and like, her edit is a character, is a host on the show. It, yeah. And so if you're doing that, you need to spend some time in the edit on the demo. But if it's just a conversational show, like Connected or like Backstage, I don't think it's as important. I agree with you there, but I think there is that sort of outlier that it could potentially change that.
Yeah, but if that's something you know and you're waiting for us to help you, you're probably going to have to wait a couple of months before we dig into editing.
Yeah,
so
that's really hard to talk, you know, about. Keep putting it on.
Yeah, maybe record it if you want to, but if you know the editing is important, you might want to jump ahead and try it out yourself. But if you do want our tips and suggestions on that, then, mm-hmm, you're gonna have to wait a little bit longer in the process, I think. I mean, because it is important, like you say about the editing, to try and get everything as close as you can with the demo to what you want the show to be. So get the gear that you want to use, because you need to practice on that, right? Make sure that that sounds right. I mean, everyone has the instance where they haven't actually plugged their microphone in correctly and they record on their laptop microphone, or they get the levels all wrong and it's too loud or it's too quiet and it doesn't work out. Like, you want to get your practice in with the gear, and for as best as you can, the way that you want the edit to be. And basically, you want to try and give your demo as best a chance as you can at being an episode one. And there's nothing to say that you can't publish our demo. We've both done this, you know, like that the demo is like, you know what, it's good enough. Like, we can do this as an episode one, like this works. But the key is here to allow yourself to not have to, that you don't feel forced to. You know, like maybe you've announced that your podcast is launching on such and such a day and you haven't recorded episode one yet. Like, I don't agree with that process. Like, you really need to have spent some time trying things out, practicing things, and also gathering feedback, right? That's an important part. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So a demo is not that useful in terms of seeing what works and what doesn't if you don't share it. And, you know, who you share it with is a tricky question. Find people you can trust, find people who know you, find people who are interested in things. But you should ask those people to give you honest feedback, because look, when you put something out on the internet, people are going to share their honest opinion, whether it's positive or negative. And that can be very jarring at first. And so to hear those things from somebody in your life or that you trust or something like that is a lot easier. But it also means that you can have maybe a more dynamic conversation with those people because you do know them. And I think that that can be useful. It can be tough, right? It can be tough to have something that you worked on kind of get picked apart by people in your life, but it is incredibly useful. Like with Flashback, when we submitted that demo to you and I sent it to Jason Snell and a handful of other people, both inside and outside of the network, you know, I got feedback. You know, some of it was like, oh, I really thought that was a good idea, and it turns out it wasn't, or, oh, we missed this obvious thing. But I'm so thankful for it because it made the project better. And that's how you need to think about feedback. Not that it's personal, not that it's, you know, something that you've got to defend, but how can I incorporate this and make the project better? That's not to say all good feedback, or it's not to say that all feedback is good or valuable. Some of it's not, but you got to sort through that stuff and work through it. And it's a good opportunity for you and your co-hosts, if you have one, or a group you're working with, to work together to solve those problems. because when you put things out in the world, people are going to hear it and potentially strangers sending you feedback, and you're going to need to know how to handle that before it happens. And so I even view like feedback for a demo as practice for the real thing too.
And in sharing it first with people that you know, you have kind of like a barometer to judge their feedback against. You know, like if you pick someone who has a lot of kind of like similar feelings and thoughts that you do, it can kind of help you understand like, oh, they saw it this way and they usually think like me. Maybe I didn't see it that way, so I can consider changing it. But also similarly, if you want to share it with somebody in your life whose like opinions you value, but you know they could be quite contrarian, then you can judge that, right? Like, is this the kind of person who will give feedback for the sake of giving feedback, right? Like, if they are, then you may want to like take some of it with a grain of salt, right? Mm-hmm. There is like a sliding scale for the feedback that you will receive, and do not change everything just because people tell you to. Mm-hmm. Like, this is your creation. Take it on board, but change the things that only feel right to you. The one last thing is like, if you find yourself getting frustrated about a bit of feedback, that means sometimes that there might be an element of truth to it,
yeah,
which is a very weird feeling. But if you find yourself being like, oh, like something really sticks with you, that might be because there's something in the back of your brain that's agreeing with it, but you're unhappy to have to agree with it. This is a really hard thing to do. I recommend starting small if it's the first time you've ever kind of gotten creative feedback. But trying to find people that you can trust in your life to share this stuff with is really important. And as Stephen said, like, try to avoid sharing your demo publicly. If possible, because that you will be sharing it with people that don't know you and won't give any sugarcoating. where people in your lives may know, like, you know, I'm sure when I share stuff with you, you kind of know the areas in which to present and how to present things to me,
right,
in the same way that I feel I know the same with you, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, it's the typical thing that you may have learned in any kind of corporate training of like, sandwiching, right? Good feedback, bad feedback, good feedback.
Yeah.
Like, if you can do that, so you kind of tell people what's good, but also tell them what needs to be changed, but don't just do one or the other if both are valid.
Mm-hmm. I think part of this too that we haven't touched on yet is give yourself some time with the demo, with the feedback. You know, if you hear back from somebody and you feel conflicted or something, like, you don't have to rush out and make a change that hour, right? Sit on it. I very often find in the creation process that I have my best ideas when I'm not working on the thing or not thinking about the thing.
Let it sit
if you need to, right? If you can't make up your mind on something, or you're getting conflicting feedback and you're not sure to listen to any of it or one side of it or whatever, just let it sit for a few days and your brain will be working on it. That's the great thing about brains, is they put things on the back burner and you don't even realize it, and then a couple of days later the solution comes to mind. I find that to be incredibly helpful for me. Is like, if I'm feeling frustrated or I'm feeling stuck with something, I just let it sit and I'll come back to it when the idea comes or when I can approach it a little more calmly. I think that's really important at this stage in a project.
We had a couple of questions that were related to this that came from Rob in the members Discord. I kind of wanted to go through these. Rob asked, what are the inherent differences from recording a demo for yourself to see if the show works and recording a demo to try and sell the show to a network or a company?
I think that if you're using a demo to pitch, it needs to be as close to the final product as possible.
I mean, I would argue it needs to be like the best possible version of that product. Like, if you're trying to get someone to pick up your show to put in their network, then you really need to present them with something basically perfect, right? As perfect as you can make it, because you're trying to convince someone to take your show, right? Like, this is a very, they're both called demos, but this feels very different to me, because like the demo for yourself is like, I'm building this thing out, but the demo for like, hey, bring me on board, that is like, you're trying to sell yourself at that point. You have to really, at that point, try and make something very good. Like, this would be like your 20th demo, not your first demo.
Rob also asked a really interesting question. If your demo shows that bigger changes are needed, would you record a new demo of those changes? And a related question that I saw was, if you record a demo and then you move forward with a project, do you recycle the content from the demo? Do you try to like recreate the conversation? These are kind of two sides of a coin, I think. Any thoughts there, Mike?
So if you've agreed with someone that like a lot of changes should be made to the show format, you should definitely record another demo of that because you haven't put those into action yet, right? So you need to see if it actually fits. Like on paper, things might seem logical, but you need to see if it fits. The other thing, like reusing content is difficult. Like definitely not lifting it and putting it in because that doesn't feel right to me to then publish that because it's going to be awkward. Things are going to sound weird, I think, in a lot of instances. People's voices sound different on different days in different environments. So you need to be careful with that when it comes to lifting it. And trying to recreate a conversation will be unnatural. It's not a natural thing. It's not going to sound the same no matter how hard you try. I recommend not doing that, which is why I also maybe, you know, don't pick your best topics for your demo. Like just pick something that's related or whatever. Like don't do your best ideas for the demo as such if what you're really trying to do is just working out if the format itself works, right? So that's also something to think about. Like don't burn the best content possible on something that you may never release.
Sounds good to me.
So next time we're going to talk about branding. So if you have questions on naming, artwork, all of that kind of stuff, you can send them in to us. You can tweet with the hashtag AskBackstage in the Relay FM members, in the Relay FM members Discord. Just use *AskBackstage and they both flow into a ship spreadsheet that we can pull from. Or you can send longer questions to backstage@relay.fm. So until next time, when we ask you to come backstage with us, I'm Mike Hurley and he's Stephen Hackett. Say goodbye, Stephen Hackett.
Love you. Bye.